everyone, and welcome back to the Mouth of the Time podcast, brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skerr, joined as ever by Miles Stawforth to discuss all things going on at Newcastle United at the moment. Miles, just how are you doing? Positive week for Newcastle, all in all.
Yeah, that was an important win at the weekend, on the back of three defeats, two of them, as we've spoken about, arguably they deserve something from the first two of those games, but they needed a win. Anything other than a win would have potentially seen that gap narrow significantly to third bottom. So, great result.
Yeah, and what were your thoughts on the game itself? Eddie Howe sort of emphasised getting back at St James's Park and the difference that would make. And we sort of, although it wasn't the greatest of games, we sort of found that come to fruition on Friday night.
Yeah, I think that was a lot to do with Leicester and how they set up. I think maybe we would have expected a bit more ambition from Leicester, but they did. They sat back, denied the likes of Sam Maximum space. There was, a line of four, a line of five at the back. It was difficult. There wasn't much space, certainly in that first half. Newcastle, by far the better team, they did show some ambition, but it looked a game from pretty early on that was going to take something special to decide it.
Yeah, and Chris Wood, he had a goal ruled out by VAR in the first half, but kept plugging away, scored from the penalty with 18 minutes to go, proved to be the winner, his second goal for the club in 12 appearances. I know you did a piece on this, Miles, for the Shields Gazette this week. Just what are your thoughts on Chris Wood and the role he's played at this Newcastle side, particularly recently where he's got amongst the goals the past five games?
Yeah, I think the point I was making is we can't just judge him on his goals. You look at a record since he's been in, since his debut, it's been very, very good. The club's record has been very, very good with him in the team. And you think back to the end of December when they lost Callum Wilson for a number of months. We still don't know for certain whether he'll be back this season. They needed a striker, a Premier League striker, preferably a proven Premier League striker who was kind of good to go. And I know a lot's mentioned about the fee, and Chris Wood spoke about this at the time on the Zoom call after his signing. It does look a big fee for a 30-year-old, but I don't know about you, Dom. If you're talking about a Premier League striker with a decent record at that level, what kind of ballpark figure would you put? You'd probably settle on 20, 25 million pounds. And that's what they ended paying to get him out of his contract there. And it was an easy deal to get done in the sense there was a release clause and he activated it. Again, there's a lot of chatter or comment about the deal, that the size of the fee. I think it's proved a smart investment. Whether how much football he'll play for this club next season and beyond that, is for another day. Certainly this season, I think he's made a big impact. And that's not just talking about his goals. He's got two, one home, one away. He's been a very good team player. He's given the team a focal point. He's had chances. He hasn't been entirely convincing in front of goal, certainly in the early part of his spell. Speaking to people at Burnley, one thing they suggested was that he'd been affected by missing some of their pre-season campaign due to the Olympics. So he probably wasn't in the best of form for Burnley at the first half of the season. But certainly he's been fit. He's played every game and he's made a contribution with and without the ball.
Yeah, it's one of them where 25 million, like you said, it seems like a lot of money. But I think at the time where you're taking a striker who's been Burnley's top scorer for each of the last four seasons, scored double figures in the Premier League in that time in every season. And you're looking... 25 million, okay, it's a lot, but if it keeps Newcastle in the Premier League, it's money well spent, and that looks to be the case.
And no one's suggesting he's going to be, if the club does the business it wants to do at the start of the season, if Callum Wilson's fit, he'll be leading the line on the first day of the season. But you can see him making a contribution in the coming seasons too. Eddie Howe likes him as a person, as a player, likes him in the dressing room. We've seen his teammates speak very well about him, and we've seen, make a contribution not just with the ball but without the ball. He's dropped into midfield when needed. He's covered his teammates. You know, he's won defensive headers when he's needed. So I think we've got to judge him more on just his goals record. And let's be honest, those two goals he scored have been very important goals. And if the club stays up by 1-2 points this season, which is still possible, those two goals will have been all important in many ways.
Yeah, and another January signing who's been making the headlines recently, Bruno Guimarães, full home debut against Wolves on Friday. Can you just sum up his performance at St James's Park on his full home debut, Matt?
We've been waiting for this for a while, haven't we? We've seen these little cameos, we've seen games away from home, but it wasn't. So, as I said, Newcastle were the better team, but it wasn't a vintage performance. But if you're going to point out one player or single out one player, it would be Bruno. He's such an intelligent player. He's such a quick thinker, quick feet. He gets the ball, he can either run or he can make a quick pass. He's great awareness. And he was involved in a lot of the best moves going forward. And I think it was also as much a test physically as what he was going to do with the ball. You saw Wolves kind of test him out physically, see how he could handle that side of the game. And he stood up to it. He showed us toughness, a steeliness, which is something Eddie Howard made reference to in the week before the game. So, he's, again, like Wood, he can make a contribution with and without the ball. And he's got that that steeliness that you need to play that position, to hold that position. And then with the ball, we all know what he can do. He's just such a quick feet, quick mind. And he was at the heart of everything, really, going forward.
Yeah, he came in for Joe Willock. Do you feel Bruno has to start on Sunday now against Leicester, or is it another chop and change situation for
him? I think he has to start. More than anyone, he was the pick of the team for me. So certainly, in my view, he has to start. And if Joe Willock's fit, we don't know yet. He's had an injection on his knee. He may take a little bit more time before he's available. Then he'll have to wait his turn, just like Guimarães did when he signed.
Yeah, and one negative to come from the Wolves game on the injury front, Ryan Fraser went off early on. Eddie Howe said after the game it was a hamstring issue. Not entirely sure how serious it is, but how big a blow could that be if Ryan Fraser's out for any period of time, misses, say, the Leicester game, the Palace game, the Norwich game even?
It's not ideal, as Howe said. I think Howe described it as a huge blow. I think the team can certainly cope, and it's not... there are players who can come into the team. The obvious one, of course, is Almiron, who's been waiting for his chance. You know, Ryan Fraser's done well, very well. He's had his best kind of run of games for the club since he joined. But I think the team and the squad is in good shape, and it shouldn't be as much of a concern as some of the previous injuries we've had at this club.
Yeah, definitely. You touched on Almiron there. Do you think he did enough to keep his place in the side for Sunday's game? He played a role in the goal that was disallowed from Chris Wood as well.
Well, that was nice to see, because I think what you always get from that Almiron is his work rate. He presses, he runs, he puts a tremendous shift in for the team. What we've probably seen less of this season is him making an impact in the final third of the pitch. So that little touch was nice to see. It was obviously a shame the goal was offside. But if you think back, you know, to some of his early appearances under Rafa, when he was really driving the team on in that final third of the pitch, carrying them up the field when they're under pressure. So he hasn't. He's found hard start to come by under Eddie Howe. So we'll see how he performs in what could be a run of games for him.
Yeah, and after Friday's win, it was quite an interesting weekend unfolded. The likes of Leeds beating Watford, Everton beating Manchester United, and Norwich obviously beating Burnley as well. So big results at the bottom of the table. Are we at this stage of the season, Miles? Are you keeping an eye on the results elsewhere, or are you just quite...
No, I have been more or less all season, to be honest.
Yes.
I think probably a lot of us had that down as a Man U win. So the Everton result was a surprise, given their form. Some results went with Newcastle, others against. But bottom line is that the fate's in their own hands, really. But you can't help but look at some of these results and hoping for a defeat or two more. I don't know what you thought. The Everton result was certainly a surprise. We were both at Goodison Park a couple of weeks ago, and certainly I know Everton won, but certainly that first half performance from then didn't bode well for that club, and we've seen the results since then.
Yeah, I think I watched that Everton Man U game, and I think it was more indicative of where Man U are at the moment. Everton's form at Goodison Park is okay. It's just the form away from home is absolutely disastrous. I don't think they've won away since August, which is probably why they're in the position they find themselves in. But Norwich beating Burnley was an important result. Keeps Newcastle 10 points clear with 7 games to go. And I know I ask this every week, Miles, and you're probably sick of it by now, but 34 points, 7 games to go. Have Newcastle done enough now to survive?
I don't think they have just yet. I kind of had in my head, and this is not particularly scientific, that 36, 37 points, or certainly just over the mid 30s, just above, is what would be needed. So my view, a win or so would really settle the nerves. But, you know, that Norwich result was so important in that context. Keeping that 10 point gap there was important. And it's hard to see Burnley finding a way out of this.
Yeah, and next up, we've touched on it, Leicester City at St James's Park on Sunday, 2:15 kickoff. What are your thoughts going into this one? Leicester, bit of a strange team this season. They've been in the top half now, but not quite reached the heights that they did the previous two seasons, where they came fifth back-to-back and won the FA Cup.
They haven't, but they've obviously got the Europa League to contend with as well, which is an issue as we know. Dangerous opponent and all the same, a lot of quality in that team. But I think the way we've seen Newcastle play at home, they shouldn't really be fearing anyone, and they won't. They've got their game plan. They've got the way of playing, this identity now. I'm hopeful of a result on Sunday.
Yeah, and we were at the game back at the King Power Stadium in December. Newcastle soundly beaten by Leicester 4-0. It's fair to say things have turned around quite considerably since then. But what do you think has changed at Newcastle between that game back in December and then the game we're going into on Sunday?
Well, the funny thing about that game, I didn't think Newcastle played that badly first half. The scoreline, I don't know if it entirely reflects the game. I guess scorelines rarely do. There wasn't much in it for much of the first half. And it ended up being, from what I remember, some sloppy mistakes and defensive mistakes. Things weren't quite happening from the final third of the pitch. But what, again, thinking back to that, Dane, if you remember, the unity on show at the final whistle was so important then. And that's been a constant win, lose or draw, really. The players went over to the fans, applauded them, and that applause was returned at the final whistle after a 4-0 defeat. And that unity has counted for a lot over the past few months in terms of giving Eddie Howe and his staff the time to get their ideas across, to get their way of playing across. And we've seen, you know, the rewards of that in the past few months. I think back to away at Leicester City, that the hammering they took under Steve Bruce a couple of seasons ago, that was embarrassing. And the team didn't have an identity, a way of playing. It flip-flopped between playing a defensive counter-attacking style, more akin to what we saw under Rafa, the way Steve Bruce wanted to play was get more on the front foot with a back four. There was never a successful transition to a new style of play. The team never had an identity. It has that now. And what we see is everyone knows their roles. We've seen that kind of week in, week out, really. And that's the important thing. The team does have an identity. And the work rate in some of these games recently has been absolutely phenomenal. And that's deservedly got the results the club needed to get away from the bottom three.
Yeah, and that's got the fans behind the team, as you're saying. This form at St James's Park, I mean, four wins in a row, just one home defeat under Eddie Howe in the Premier League. Do you think that's been a big part of it, the way the fans have got behind the team is reflected in the performances on the pitch, particularly at St James's Park?
Yeah, I think so. Your home form's so important, really. You know, you take care of your home games, and then whatever you pick up away from home is a bonus. And again, it comes down to that unity, the atmosphere. St James's Park wasn't probably the best place to play when Steve Bruce was in charge earlier this season. There was so much discontent with him, with Ashley. And we had behind closed doors football before then, which wasn't ideal in terms of not having the fans behind the team. Now we've got a full stadium week in, week out, and the team's getting the backing that they needed. And Eddie Howe's, every week really, he's talked about the importance of that unity, that backing. And obviously you've got to give credit to Wolf Flags and what they do for every game, because it was phenomenal again at the start of the game.
Yeah, and just looking at Newcastle's goals, particularly since the turn of the year, quite dependent on set pieces, penalty as it was on Friday, from corners, free kicks, things like that. Not a lot of goals from open play. Is that an area we'll need to see Newcastle improve on in these coming games, or does it really matter if Newcastle are still picking up the result?
Well, I think they do. Of course they do. But it's kind of heartening to see set plays working for them. That hasn't always been the case in recent years. A lot of work goes into that on the training ground, and it's heartening to see that working. I think now Bruno Guimaraes is bedded down. We've got Alan Maximum back fit. We should see a lot more happening in open play in terms of goals.
Yeah, and you touched on Alan St. Maximum there, obviously always a much discussed player. What did you make of his performance returning to the side the past two games? And there's talk of him being sold in the summer, things like that. Where do you see his position at Newcastle at the moment?
Well, in terms of the game last weekend, I think he wasn't helped by Leicester's Wolves' approach to the game. As I said before, there wasn't much space. You look at him when he took the ball, there was three, four or more players around him at any point. So it was tough. Obviously, we've got to say he had a hand in the goal, the penalty. He was involved in that move, and it was that piece of skill which really kind of got them the 3 points. So he made a contribution. We saw a few moments from him as well, second half. He didn't hit the target, but he was getting chances. And again, I asked Eddie Howe about that after the game, and he made that point. It was good to see him just get the chances and get in those positions, because it's been a while since we've seen him at his best. We put very early this year. It was mid-February when he suffered that injury. In terms of him going forward, the summer and beyond, Eddie Howe was asked about his future at his pre-match press conference. And he was asked, does he have a long-term future? And he said, absolutely. Yes, of course, a lot can happen between now and the summer. But you certainly see him having a future at this club. Will he be the biggest name in the team? Maybe not. And ultimately, everyone at this club, every player at this club has got to deliver to stay part of this. And that's something a few players have touched on just recently. So he knows he's got to deliver. There's things quite revealing. Another some more Eddie Howe comments on Alisson Maximum from a previous press conference about what they're asking him to do off the ball. To an extent, he's not going to give you what some other wingers get in terms of tracking back and the work rate. You give him the ball and let him do his thing, but they are asking him to do certain things when the team doesn't have the ball. And what kind of future he has under Eddie Howe, how many games he starts, what kind of contribution he makes will depend on how he addresses those issues and what he does without the ball. But we all know what he can do with the ball. He's absolutely an incredible talent. I've never seen a player with such quick feet. He's such a threat on his day. But obviously teams are wise to that, and they crowd him out, they deny him space. So it's how the team adjusts to that and to him and going forward.
Yeah, and expect him to be in the starting lineup to face Leicester on Sunday, where hopefully he can get back to his sort of best, if you like, firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, hopefully these two last two games have given him a platform in terms of his fitness. Given a platform for these last seven games to really show what he can do. So, yeah, he's got to start for me as long as he's fit. And I would expect it. You'd expect a little bit more of an open game, which should suit him.
Yeah, and we'll be speaking to Eddie Howe in his pre-match press conference on Friday morning. So we'll have all of the news and updates building up to the game over on the Shields Gazette website. We're also running a spring subscription offer over on the Shields Gazette, which will give you unlimited ad-lite access to all of our Newcastle United coverage. You can just head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions and use the code SPRING22 for 1 month free and 50% off for 4 months for all our content there. And if you like what we do, be sure to make the most of that while you can. But for now, Miles, it's been a pleasure as always. And thank you everyone for listening. And we hope you can join us next time on the Mouth of the Time podcast. Cheers.